Well, hello, everybody. My name is Courtney, for those of you who don't know me, and I am so excited that each of you have came tonight. I'm going to have to move this forward a little bit. I ain't got enough room. All right. So I wanted to tell y'all, first off, there's some pink little cards there in your seat. If you don't have one, we got some extra. Just let us know. Just please put your name, email addresses on there. That way we can get a little database going and get y'all the information for the next light and just keep y'all updated, stuff like that, okay? So this is our very first women's event here at Life Church of Athens. About a month ago, me and a few other ladies had this on our hearts for a women's ministry, and we are so excited that y'all have came tonight. Y'all have definitely overseeded our expectations, so we're super glad that you're here. So the light stands for ladies in God's house tonight, and I don't know about y'all, but I'm pretty excited to be in God's house tonight. Can I get an amen? All right, especially when you have childcare, right? That makes it worth it. But anyway, so our vision and mission of this ministry is based in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and I wanted to read that to y'all real quick just to give y'all a little intro. So you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So that is our goal here, to get women together, worship together, fellowship, hear the word of God, so that each of you can go out into your families, into your household, in your workplaces, in the community, and be a light to others for Jesus Christ. So I want to pray us in real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time here together. I'm so thankful for each lady that's came tonight, God. Lord, we know that you are not a God of coincidence, but of divine appointment. And for each and every one that is here, God, I know that you have a word for them, and I pray that you would open up their hearts to hear what you would have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so ladies, God wants to bring an encouraging message to you tonight, and I always get really excited about encouraging messages. So like me, like I said, I'm Courtney, and I'm married, I have two small children, sweet little angels, and then I have to keep up my chores at the house, and so some of you are probably like me in those aspects. Women just have a lot to do, and sometimes, like me, y'all probably feel overwhelmed about the different things you have to do, maybe a little anxious about the task at hand. A lot of times we're really tired, you know, there's just not enough hours at night, you know, to get the rest that you need sometimes, and you're just too busy. And so it probably could have even been a struggle just to get here tonight, you know, that can be the case. But God has good news for you. So tonight he has a word for these areas in our life that we can apply because he knows where you're struggling at. He knows your circumstances. He knows how busy you are, and he's there for us. He understands. And what we're going to talk about tonight is Martha and Mary. For those of you who don't know them, they were sisters, and they loved Jesus. And so Jesus is going about in his life, and this is the time he was walking around doing miracles, that kind of thing. And so this story is based off of that. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start in verses 38, and we're going to read through 42, and it'll also be up here to read as well. I'll give y'all a second to turn there. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So the first thing I want to point out here is that what Scripture says about Martha is that she welcomed Jesus into her home. here in this time, many people were rejecting Jesus. They wanted to kill Jesus. So it could have been pretty dangerous for Martha to have welcomed Jesus into her home. Also, you know, it's one thing to cook dinner for you and your family, maybe even invite a couple of people over, another family, but you're talking about cooking for Jesus and his 12 disciples. That's a lot of menfolk to cook for us. That's a hefty meal to prepare. So, and also, not just the work, but it could also be pretty costly. But Martha, she didn't care about the danger nor about the cost of serving Jesus and his disciples, so she welcomes him into her home. But it switches when I started to think about that Jesus must have came in and he began to talk because her sister Mary sat down at his feet, right? So, but Martha, she goes on about her business. She goes on getting ready to serve Jesus and his 12 disciples, which wasn't a bad thing. I mean, you're serving the Lord. And so she just goes on about her work. And it makes me wonder how many of us ladies are willing to welcome Jesus into our homes. We want him to be there. We want him to be a part of our lives. Yet we go on the same way, doing our same daily routine, and don't actually acknowledge that he's there. We want Jesus to be a part of our lives, but we don't actually want him to affect our lives. We don't want him to come in and stir things up and change things up and get us out of our comfort zone a lot of times. But Mary, however, she saw Jesus. I'm going to try to quit messing with this thing. She saw Jesus, and she began to sit at his feet in verse 39 and listen to his teaching. I was reading some commentary from Matthew Henry, and I loved what he said. He said that she sat to hear, which denotes a close attention. Her mind was resolved, was composed, and she resolved to abide by it. Not to catch a word now and then, but to receive all that Christ had delivered. She sat at his feet as scholars at the feet of their tutors when they read. Our sitting at Christ's feet when we hear his word signifies a readiness to receive it and a submission and entire resignation of ourselves to the guidance of it. If we sit with him at his feet now, we shall sit with him on his throne shortly. I love that. So it goes on to say in verse 40 that Martha was distracted with much serving. I also love the commentary here. Whatever cares the providence of God has cast upon us, whatever cares, we must not be cumbered or hindered with them, nor be disquieted, anxious, or perplexed by them. Care is good and duty, but cumber is sin and folly. So I don't know if y'all caught that, but I love what they said. You know, whatever God cast upon us, we can't be hindered with it because then it becomes sin, right? We have to still keep our priorities in check. So Martha was cumbered about with much serving when she should have been with her sister sitting at Christ's feet to hear his word. Note, worldly business is then a snare to us when it hinders us from serving God and getting good to our souls. Now, I want to look at the Greek word for distracted here because the original Bible, of course, the New Testament was written in the Greek language, and a lot of times when you study it, it's helpful because things don't mean the same thing from language to language. So I like to look up the Greek word and then the definition of that. So the Greek word for distracted is perispao, and it means to draw away. Metaphorically speaking, it means being driven about mentally or overoccupied or too busy about a thing. The driven about mentally really got to me, and I know all of y'all probably aren't like me, but whenever it made me think about when you're worshiping God and you're in church and or wherever you are and you got your hands raised and you're praising Jesus, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, did I lay dinner out? Where are we going to go for lunch? You know, and like, how did my mind get here? I was just praising Jesus. And I was like, man, that is perispao. You're driven about mentally. You're always thinking about something. And so I always think, okay, refocus. This is what I'm doing. And then I got to thinking, you know, what's really going on here in this moment where we're getting distracted? It's that we're getting distracted. We are driven about mentally. And so it makes me wonder, you know, what distracts you, each of you? It doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It can also be a good thing, like what distracted Martha, which was her getting ready to serve Jesus and his 12 disciples. So what is keeping each of you from sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his teachings, spending time with God, praying, you know, serving the Lord? Is it our chores? Do we just got too much to do at the house? Are the dishes really more important than Jesus, you know? Sometimes I have to think of that when the first thing I do is get up and start doing my chores, and I'm like, oh, I need to spend time with the Lord. How about keeping up with the Joneses? You know, we're always working. We're always trying to gain all these materials. Or even our reputation. You know, I don't want to look like that one over there. I mean, she loved Jesus a little bit too much. You know how people say, like, that person's super saved over there. You know, that's a little weird. And you're like, wait, that shouldn't be so. So our reputations. What about our work? Is it your workplace? Are you working too much? You don't have time. You're too tired. How about our families even? That wouldn't be a bad thing, right? This morning when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how they say that marriage is, if you make it through the first 5 years, then you're doing pretty good, you know? And then the hard part's 21 through 25 years. You're like, why is that the hard part? You've been married 20 years. Well, it's because the husbands and wives kept up with their kids, and they poured all their time into their children rather than one another. And so then the kids move out, and they're like, oh, we don't know each other. But it wasn't a bad thing to pour into their kids, but they didn't pour into the right spot. And so I compared that to, if we're pouring everything into our families but not putting Jesus first, we're still in the wrong place. And even that's a good thing. Our families are that good thing. And how about stuff like this? What if we go to church all the time and we always are involved in the events and we're always volunteering, but it actually isn't from our heart? You know, sometimes we can just get caught up doing ritualistic religious stuff and not really serving the Lord either. So you just got to kind of think about what distracts you. And then also, who would want you, each of you ladies, to be distracted from the teachings of God? Of course, the enemy, Satan. He comes to distract us. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he does that sometimes by distractions. So, and I really want y'all to hear this point, that if we are distracted, we will not live out the fullest potential that God has for our lives to glorify his kingdom. So if we're distracted, we're not going to be at that full potential, and God's got a lot of potential for each and every one of you in here to make a major difference in his kingdom. So if we are distracted and we're not living our lives to the fullest potential for God, who wins? Satan wins. Now, I don't know about each of y'all, but I don't want Satan to have any foothold or any victory in any part of my life, in my family, in my circumstances, in my struggle. I want God to be the victor in all areas of my life. And the only way that God can be the victor in all the areas of your life is by us getting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his teachings, spending time with him, spending time in the word. So Martha tells Jesus in verse 40, "You do not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." So Martha's done got bold here, right? So they're not in there by themselves. Like, she don't take Jesus aside. Jesus is in there speaking, and Martha says, "Hey, you don't care that my sister's left me?" And then tells Jesus what to do. I mean, she's probably walked by a couple times now, you know, trying to get Mary's attention, right? And Mary's just sitting there because she's totally focused on Jesus, and it didn't work out. So she finally just says, "You're not helping me." Which I thought, you know, you wouldn't think about that when you first read that, like really the scenario, but she was getting pretty bold there. But Jesus answers her, and I feel like it was very calmly and lovingly in verse 41. And he says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." I'm sure there are women here right now that are anxious and troubled about something, or even about many things. And maybe what you're anxious and troubled about is almost overpowering. Or maybe it's just enough a foothold in your life for you not to do what God has called you to do. So now I want to turn over a few pages back to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 14, Luke 8, 14. And here Jesus is speaking in parables, which he did a lot, about the seed being the word and the hearers of that word. So Luke 8, 14, and it says, "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." So he says here that the seed that fell among the thorns, those who heard the word, then they went on their way, but they were choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So think about your life. What's choking you? What cares? What are we worried about getting material things? Are we working so much for those pleasures to take that vacation we can't afford, to go out to eat when we know we should probably cook at home, you know? They choke us. They take our time from us. And then he says that our fruit is not mature. So fruit that we're supposed to bear for Jesus Christ is not mature. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't like eating fruit that's not mature. It's not ripe. It's not sweet. It doesn't taste good. So we cannot glorify God if we're being choked out by this world and we do not have mature fruit. So back to the story. Martha here is distracted and she is not focused. Maybe she is focused, but just focused on the wrong thing. Think about what Jesus says next in verse 42. He says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. I love the commentary here, but oneness is needful in opposition to distractions. There is need of one heart to attend upon the word, not divided and hurried to and fro, as Martha's was at this time. The one thing needful is certainly meant of that which Mary made her choice, sitting at Christ's feet to hear his word. She was troubled about many things, Martha, when she should have applied herself to one. Godliness unites the heart, which the world has divided. The many things she was troubled about were needless, while the one thing she neglected was needful. Martha's care and work were good in their proper season and place, but now she had something else to do, which was unspeakably more needful, and therefore should be done first and most minded. She expected Christ to have blamed Mary for not doing as she did, but he blamed her for not doing as Mary did. And we are sure the judgment of Christ is according to truth. The day will come when Martha will wish she had sat where Mary did. So I'll go a few pages over and look at Luke chapter 12. And I love this passage. We'll start in verse 22. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. It's a long passage, but a good one. And it says, and it'll be up here too. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. So God already knows every single thing that we need. He will take care of us. And as women, sometimes we have a lot to do. And so we think, well, maybe I just didn't hear him quite right. And I'll just have a plan B just in case, you know, God doesn't come through. I'll have that backup plan in case this doesn't work out. Newsflash. It's not trusting God, really, if we have a backup plan. We have a plan B, you know, that kind of takes the trust out of it. But it's very hard for us to do that when there's so much to do. There's so much to take care of, and the time and the days just go by faster and faster. But ladies, we got to stop being anxious and do what Jesus says and seek him instead. In verse 42, Jesus says a phenomenal thing. He says one thing is necessary. He doesn't give us this big law book or this super long list of different things that we have to do. He says just one thing is necessary. And that one thing that's necessary is the good portion and will not be taken away from Mary. There are many, many things that we put our focus, our undivided attention on every day that could be taken away from us in a moment, whether it be tragedy, sickness, catastrophe. But Jesus says that this good portion will not be taken away. There's no tragedy, no sickness, no catastrophe that can take this away from us. This good portion echoes Old Testament scripture on being in close fellowship with the Lord. David says in Psalms 27, verse 4, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That one thing, that close fellowship with God, to seek him and inquire upon him. The psalmist also says in verses, chapter 73, verse 26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And God wants to be that strength of your heart and that strength of, and that portion of yours forever. Matthew Henry commentates here, "It is the wisdom and duty of every one of us to choose this good part, to choose the service of God for our business." That means we need to make what we're about, choosing to serve God. The favor of God for our happiness and an interest in Christ. Mary was at her choice whether she would partake with Martha in her care and get the reputation of a fine housekeeper, or sit at the feet of Christ and approve herself a zealous disciple. And by her choice in this particular, Christ judges of her general choice. So when Jesus tells Martha that this will not be taken away from her, it will not be taken away from her, not only in that moment, but not for all of eternity. So Heather, if you can come, and then I'm also going to ask Julie, Charlotte, and Mama D to come up and just kind of stand right in this area. So after, of course, you know, you hear the word of God, you kind of want to have a response to it a lot of the times. And this altar here is open, ladies. For those of you who have been distracted, but you want to confess that you've been distracted and you want to be focused on Jesus, this altar is open for you. For those of you that have been choked out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world, and you want to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, this altar is for you. For those of you who already have a close relationship with God, but you just want to know him more, or maybe you want somebody that you know to know him more, this altar is for you. And for those of you who knew Jesus, but you've drifted away and you want to be pulled back in, Jesus is standing there and he's holding out his hand and he's waiting on you to make the move. He's not going to push himself on you. And for those of you who don't know Jesus and want to have a relationship with him, come and speak to one of us up here. We'll be happy to pray with each of y'all. Father, I just thank you for this time that we've had together, Lord Jesus. I just pray for each of these ladies as they go out in their weeks, God, that they would be a light wherever they go, God, that people would see Jesus in them, Lord, and that your name would be glorified in the city of Athens and all the surrounding communities. We thank you again for this time, Father. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.